Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Hello and welcome to A Bergkamp Wonderland. Should we just start? We're in a final, right? We'll go to the chat box first. Early shouts for Yvonne, J-Rob and Gabrielle, all with donations before we even started. Carl and Ellis, who have joined us this evening. Carl, even though we were delayed, look how well it's come out.
We've
come your way.
You can always wait for ages and ages and ages and then it turns up and everything's fine. You know, who ever had a doubt in this result?
Exactly. And also, I've already revealed who's with us. Ellis was the man that delayed our start today, not Carl. Ironic, right?
Yeah, in my defence, it was only because I didn't hear Carl. I could have probably still gone on. I just would have to ignore Carl for the rest of the show. It feels so strange being on without Jason. Like, I feel like being left alone, like the kids left alone for the first time without Dad. Think of all the mischief we can get up to.
I'm glad to see that everybody on the pod sees me as like the substitute teacher where you can get away with anything. So get ready, people. Ball rubbers and chalk will be flying around the classroom and maybe the old paper aeroplane. Quick shout outs for, I can see we've got Stefan Selby in the chat, J-Rob already, Russ Morgan, Matt Walker, Junior Gunner, Ben Murphy got in there. He says, I'm his hero. Oh, Ben, I mean, there's people out there. I'm really honoured to be your hero. I mean, there are better heroes out there than me. Who've got Dro the Gooner, Frank Gunner, Alonzo Spencer, K-Man 1867, Cactus Jack 81, Loki 73, and I think I saw Danny the GFP in there as well.
Who's that?
I'm not really sure who he is. Stefan's come in telling me I'm scum. Cheers, Stefan. Talking about that, if you do like what we're doing, give us a thumbs up. If you don't like what we're doing, give us a thumbs down. But at the end of the day, if you just subscribe and hit the little bell notification, you'll know when we go live. We've only got, well, I was going to say one more of these, but we just won a game. So two more, because we're in the final, lads. Should we start with the lineups? Ellis, what did you reckon to the lineup that we saw?
No real massive surprises. I think it's probably the strongest team that Emery could have put out, really, considering other than Czech. But I think we're also resigned to the fact that Czech's going to play all of these Europa League games. So, yeah, probably I wasn't really surprised with it. He seems to like the back three with the wing backs of Kolasinac and Ainsley Maitland-Niles. And, yeah, like in terms of the forwards there with Alba and Lacazette, as we'll come on to talk on, had a storming game. Like, it wasn't a surprise to see them there. Yeah, I can't really fault the lineup. Like, I think sometimes we read too much into lineups, and you can see on Twitter we get all the poor reactions to people's favourite players not starting or not doing this way or not doing that way or playing our favourite formation. But I think we've now started to see what Emery's favourite formation is, and I think he picked the best players for that formation that we could have picked, and I think it worked rather well. So yeah, no massive surprises for me.
Yeah, Carl, anything with you? Or is it a case of, to be fair, now that we've got the result, you don't really care what the starting lineup was?
No, I think defence is the best form of attack. I think that's what I think it's kind of resigned that we know that we haven't got a good defence at the moment. So we have to attack, and you know, going with the two best players at the club at the moment, and I think that's what we needed. And you know, the result, it got through, you know, we won, and that's all that really matters, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the game. Early doors for all of the lucky people listening on BT Sport: Robbie Savage's comms went down for at least 4 minutes. That was probably the best part of the first half, I would say. 10 minutes in, it was kind of same story as last week, Carl. Valencia with the early goal. Do you want to talk us through that? Because there was a couple of mistakes in there for us.
Yeah, it was annoying because Ainsley Maitland-Niles was running up the right-hand side. And, you know, there was a simple pass on, but he chose to... It's almost like a half shot, half cross. I don't think he quite knew exactly what he was doing, but because he was way up the pitch and he had no protection for the whole game, but we'll probably get onto that a bit later. The keeper got the ball and rolled it out almost straight away. And then they knew that their whole right-hand side, there was nobody there, no one at all. So it was easy for them to keep on attacking that side. It's the ball's coming, and I think it was Monreal who just lost his man. The thing is, Monreal was actually goal side as well. And I know we always moan about Monreal not being goal side, but I do at least anyway, because his man just seems to lose him. But he just seems to just lose his head. The ball's come across, and the player, I can't remember who it was, to be honest, top of my head. But he scored, and it's kind of like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? And that was kind of squeaky bum time, because it was just a catalogue of errors. There were so many times when we could have cut the ball out, we could have stopped it. And it was no Gamero, that's who it was. For me, it's a goal that you could say it was a good goal, but it's a goal that we could have prevented easily, so easily, because Monreal was goal side of it. Monreal had, you know, stuck out a leg, he could have, or put his head in the way, he could have cut out that cross. And for me, it's just a catalogue of errors once again.
Yeah, Ellis, what did you reckon to that kind of goal? Was there anything that you think we could have done a lot better, or was this a case of issues we've seen, and just highlighting the fact that Maitland-Niles isn't really a right back?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with your second to last comment there. I think it just highlights issues that Arsenal have. If you look at all our poor results in the Premier League, teams that have really sort of done the damage to us have countered us really well and scored goals. And it's something that we struggle with. And I think it's something that this formation is definitely a weakness for, to have the three at the back and the wing backs. I don't think there's a lot of communication with those sort of wider centre-backs and the wing-backs, really, because you saw, especially today's game, if we're going to like to talk about anything, players were getting in behind, sort of between Kolasinac and Monreal and between Socrates and Ainsley Maitland-Niles in that space. And I think that formation lends itself to be prone to counter-attacks, but obviously gives us a lot going forward. But yeah, it was a shame. Like, I think the ground was, obviously, there was a lot of atmosphere there, and I thought we quieted him down quite well to start with. Obviously, Ainsley Maitland-Niles at the other end, out of position, loses the ball, and he's not really been covered well at all. He's quite late getting back, and it just gives him a lot of space. And like Carl said, it is probably preventable, but like I said, it's something we've said a lot for Arsenal, and it's not really changed yet, and I think it's going to be a while till that does change. But it is what it is. Until we start sort of, I think we need to strengthen our midfield. And obviously, like you say, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, for me, he's not an out-and-out right back. He's been asked to do a job, and at times he's done it really well. Today, maybe not so well defensively, but we'll probably come on to later. Offensively, both him and Kolasinac actually look quite good. It's just the defensive side of the game that worries me personally.
Yeah, I mean, he was caught out shortly, a couple of minutes later, when Gaia cut it back to Rodrigo, whose goal-bound shot was blocked by the striker, by his fellow striker, Gamero, I think, on the line. So we're kind of riding our luck there and getting through. But then 16th minute, Ellis, going to come back to you on this one. Out of nothing, we get a goal.
Yeah, it was completely out of nothing. I wasn't expecting it at all. It was a long ball, and Lacazette, for me, done like really well there. He wins the header and he rolls it up back to Aubameyang, and I was sort of like, just sat there, I'd had some dinner, I wasn't really massively into the game, I was a bit downtrodden that they already scored, and I thought, oh, here we go, it's going to be a classic Arsenal collapse. I even put it in one of my WhatsApp chats, and literally a couple of seconds after putting those words into my box, in the chat box with my friends, Aubameyang pops up with a goal, and it was a quality finish. And again, like I said, something that I think they both done, not just Lacazette and Aubameyang, they both worked really well. They were really trying for every ball. They were tracking back defensively. And yeah, Lacazette just does well to win the header. Not something you probably levitate him being that good in the air, but he managed to flick it on for Aubameyang, and it was just a quality finish. And perhaps I've been a bit critical of Aubameyang in the past. He does sometimes miss sitters, but he was so clinical today, and he didn't think twice for that first goal. It was a great take by him.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, do you think it was a little bit of a damning indictment that it was a long ball rather than our midfield that kind of fed our first real chance and Aubameyang getting the goal? Or was it kind of just a lot of luck and a bit of individual brilliance that saw that goal go in? You're on mute, Carl.
I know that. I've seen if Ellis is paying attention. Just nice to know that your MH is in his hands, by the way. Anyway, I think it was a little from column A, a little from column B. Sometimes you just need that. Sometimes you just need a, I want to say a big punt up pitch, but I'm going to go to say it was a long pass rather than a long ball. There's a little difference between the two. And like I just said, you know, we need that sometimes because sometimes the tippy-tappy doesn't work. Or tiki-taka, I think it's called these days. Doesn't work. And sometimes you just need a long ball up the pitch just to even clear your lines. And sometimes you get that bit of luck that we need, and we got it today, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. A big thank you to Tino Barry, who's just come in with a donation. Thank you very much, especially as it's not a round number, so it will annoy Danny no end. Remember, chat box or any listeners, if you are going to donate, please make them not a round number, as it really annoys Danny, and we all think it's hilarious when he gets riled for little things, or send him pictures of plugs with nothing in but turned on, because just why not? After the goal, kind of Valencia is still looking dangerous for us, but again, Ellis, we had a corner and Aubameyang just had a header that went way over the bar. I mean, if he hadn't done what he did later in the game, I'd probably be chastising him for this. Was it odd to kind of see that we had so much space, even though when we were attacking?
Yeah, it was strange. Like, I think they had a lot of the ball, Valencia, and they weren't shy, and they weren't shy from chance, so they're trying to create things. But they did sit back and let us have a bit more of the ball. And I think, obviously, the goal came from the counter, and they were good for it. And I think that's what the sort of game plan they were trying to play. They thought they'd sort of, which is strange considering we were 3-1 up, they just seemed to sort of let us have the ball in not so dangerous places and just give us chances. Well, not chances, give us the ball to create chances. We didn't massively create a hell of a lot. But yeah, it was a strange game plan from Valencia to let us do that. But obviously, it didn't work for them. And it's annoying for Aubameyang. Yeah, you can say you're going to chastise him for missing a header. But again, we both know that's not his strength. Like, his strength is what he's shown with his 3 goals tonight. It's his chances, taking those chances on the foot, on the floor. He's not going to win much in the air. And I literally can't think. Has he ever scored a header goal for us?
Not
since he's been here.
But do you think Valencia's game plan was to hit us on the counter attack? I mean, it worked for the first goal. So maybe they knew, if they sit back from us, they would try and find spacing behind us. I mean, people can counter-attack against us all day, and for some reason, we just can't stop it. So I'm not really... I would say Valencia's game plan... I mean, it didn't work, but I can see what they were trying.
Like, I think they didn't account for our strikers to be as clinical as they was, especially Aubameyang. They weren't account for that. I think, like you say, on paper, it probably looks like a good game plan. And if that didn't happen with the goals that Aubameyang scored, it may have been a different story. But for me, it was just strange to see a team that at the start of the match were 3-1 down on aggregate to play the way they did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they said kind of pre-match, and we did the preview show as well, that kind of Valencia don't like having the ball. So, you know, the fact they had to, you know, actually get the ball and push forward. I mean, they didn't look bad when they were attacking us, to be fair. Had an opportunity with Lacazette just wide from some great wing play from Aubameyang. Carl, how did you think about Lacazette's game in general, especially in the first half?
I think he was I like it. You know, he's stepped up to the big leagues now. He's come from like a feeder league, so obviously he's like, it's a whole new game for him. And you know, with Lacazette and like with Aubameyang, you kind of, it's a love-hate relationship. Sometimes you love what he does and sometimes you hate what he does. Like, he can be clinical. What I like is, it's almost, Lacazette is almost a fake nine, you know, because you see him doing what you want Ozil to do, kind of. He's back in midfield, he's tracking back. There was one point he was playing almost like a right wing back, because I saw, sorry, left wing back, because he was popping off the ball to check at one point, and I was like, what the fuck, what are you doing back there? But that's just his game. He wants to be about. He doesn't hide. That there's one thing you can always say about, like I said, he doesn't hide from the ball, never, ever, ever. He's always ready to receive the ball, he's always ready to put himself about, and that's what we like. So for me, he had a very good game today. I mean, we're going to get onto him a bit later when we talk about the next goal. But no, Lacazette for me is, at the moment, I would say he's Arsenal's best player. I know we can praise Aubameyang for getting the hat-trick, but for me, the glue there is definitely Lacazette. He is just, at the moment, playing very, very well. And without him, Aubameyang would not get half the goals he got.
Yeah, absolutely. Stefan, you absolute lunatic, coming in with a donation. And Micah for life as well. We are in the final. It's kind of somewhere where I think we should have been maybe last season, but now we're here. We're ready to do it. Last bit I've got from the first half was the dive from Gaia. Ellis, do you want to talk through the dive at all? Presume we're all agreed he did dive, and just yellow cards.
I'm going to be completely honest. I barely remember it. It's one of those things that if it's not your player being booked, then you don't really care. I don't remember
So he's gone down the right hand side, and Ainsley Maitland-Niles, he's almost come together, but he's tried to buy the penalty. Definitely, Ainsley Maitland-Niles didn't touch him. He's gone down. Simple. Yep, yellow card. Get on with the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was half time. What did you reckon to that kind of first half, Kyle? Kind of how we played, and what were your kind of fears coming into the second half?
I was nervous, I'm not going to lie. Just because, do you know why I was nervous? It's a stupid thing. Because of the results that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday, that's the reason why I was nervous, because I thought, I knew we needed another goal. I 100% knew that, because Valencia, I guarantee the halftime talk for Valencia would have been, look what happened on Tuesday, look what happened on Wednesday, it can be done. Like, if you just keep on playing, keep on attacking them, we can score. And that, if that doesn't give you impetus and that doesn't give you momentum, nothing else will. Like, of course that is. Like, if it's the other way around, I would want Emery to be saying that, look what Tottenham did, look what Liverpool did, it can be done. So I knew they would come out half-time and come out fighting, because of course they would. Why would they not? But I knew we 100% needed a second goal to settle things down a little bit. So Valencia would be like, oh shit, like maybe it can't be done. What the hell? And yeah, that was my thoughts at half-time.
So Ellis, you kind of the same, or are you just too busy making dinner?
No, I'm a negative Nancy, and I always feel like Arsenal are going to fucking fuck it up. And I definitely felt like that at the start of the game, just watching the two Champions League ties and watching both the teams that had the leads throw it away. I just thought it'll be typical of Arsenal after two English teams have come back from behind in a tie for Arsenal to then be in front of a tie and then go behind. But yeah, I wasn't massively scared. I had hope that we'd already scored a goal, and that away goal was massive for us. It meant that Valencia had to score, was it three goals at that point if they wanted to go through, and it just gave us that cushion. I still, like Carl, thought we probably needed another one, because if we lit another one ship, which we did, then that might get their tails up, and if we hadn't had another goal cushion, it could have been a different story. But obviously that wasn't to be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what it shows? We're better than Barcelona and Ajax, because we can hold on to a 2-0 lead.
Definitely.
So straight in to the second half. And Ellis, I'm going to come back to you straight away on this one. Talk us through the lack of goal.
All right, it was a good bit of play. It was one high up the pitch, and Torreira, I thought, probably fizzed it in a bit hard to Lacazette, who I thought maybe had messed up the touch. But he does really well to get that under control. And he's got this ability, Lacazette, that Aubameyang doesn't have. And he gets the ball and he can trap it and he can keep it away from defenders. He can just spin around, keep the ball away from him. And you just know if he can work like a little bit of space. He took a really good touch just to give him that bit of space. And then he finessed it in. Like Carl mentioned earlier, which he analysed the first chance he had. I thought he probably could have done better there, but he definitely made up with it for that goal. Just his touch, his control and his finish. It was just sublime. And it's why Lacazette has been probably voted our player of the season, because of things like that. I know Aubameyang is probably going to come away from this game with a hat-trick and get all the plaudits, but a lot of good work has come from Lacazette. And if you ever look at the ties, or the two ties as a whole, Lacazette's also scored three of the seven goals that we've managed to score on aggregate, and he's played a massive part, both of them have, in getting us to the final. And I just thought it was just a great goal and well-deserved, because like Kyle's mentioned, both of them worked really hard. You'll just see Lacazette back there winning tackles, picking up the ball deep and making things happen. And it was a well-worked, deserved goal, and I loved it. It was buzzing.
Yeah. Kyle, do you think that was like the second coming of Ian Wright with Lacazette, that goal?
Yeah, let's not make them comparisons just yet. I think we're very, you know, I hear people talking about Aubameyang and Henri. Yeah, let's not start doing that yet. Not yet. I was surprised of how much space he had in the box. I know they tried to tackle him, but I was surprised that something closed him down a little bit quicker. It was almost like Arsenal defending, because they kind of just stayed off him a little bit. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of shocked. But like Ellie said in the build-up to the goal, brilliant bit of footwork for him to create the space for himself and just tuck it into the bottom corner. I thought it was, you know, you have to give credit where credit's due, and you know that because it wasn't a 30-yard screamer, it won't get the credit that it deserves. But for me, it was a very, very good goal.
Yeah, it's something that I think when it went in looked like it would almost kind of kill the tie at that point. Certainly, the amount of kind of passion and drive Valencia were kind of showing. But you know, 57th minute. We concede again. Carl, what went on with this goal from Gamero? It was pretty yet scrappy. I think a little bit like some of the birds John Welsh takes home, right?
They look good. Do you know what? It's weird. I can't explain what happened because the ball's come into the box and why they started putting up their hands, I don't know, because Monreal was playing all of them on side. Petr Cech has tried to get a hand to it. And if he gets a hand to it, that he scoops it out of the box. So, but he just missed it. And Gamero, I think it is, just taps it in from about a yard. And it's just, like you said, a really scrappy goal where, again, we could have prevented it. There's things that we could have done to stop it from going in. And oh, I don't know. It's just typical Arsenal, innit? Like, you think we're on top and we're playing well and we're, you know, just doing what we're doing, and then that shit happens. Just a goal that could easily be prevented. And I think we're probably unlucky on that one, because if that touches anyone else, it kind of, you know, it goes out the box or it takes a deflection. And yeah, unlucky, I think. I think really, really unlucky.
Yeah, Ellis, was that just the kind of, what were your thoughts on it? It's the kind of goal we concede in pro clubs, right?
Yeah, definitely. As a proper pro clubs goal, scrappy. You just feel that it's going to go over the line no matter how many people get in front of it, or it'll just end up with your keeper throwing it in. But yeah, it was, I think, is it Pereira who got on the right and then squared it back for Rodrigo, and then Guerrero tucks it away. But yeah, it's another one of those good balls out behind our wing backs that they don't seem to cope with defensively, and this time it's on the other side of the pitch and Kolasinac, and I think he should do better. Him and Monreal, sort of a miscommunication. They don't really get to the player, and then Monreal is the only player playing Rodrigo one side for the initial shot. So you think if those two perhaps communicate a bit better, then you don't even have the scrappiness that leads up to the goal anyway. And it's frustrating, but again, people can say, oh, it's game on, but it's still 3-5 on an aggregate at that time, and Valencia have got a lot to do. And I think if anything, the previous Lacazette goal gave me a bit of hope that yes, we might be a bit shit defensively, but we can still put them away at the other end. So it didn't really worry me too much, to be fair.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree that, you know, we are Arsenal though. It's a 3-goal lead. You know, we can throw away a 2-goal lead just as well as we can throw away a 3-goal lead, even on aggregate. A kind of next kind of thing that came up, Mesut Ozil got subbed off for Mkhitaryan. He gets booked for time wasting as he comes off. Carl, what do you reckon to Ozil's performance in this game? Because I wouldn't say he was anonymous, but he wasn't his best.
I would say he's anonymous. Like, can you honestly think of two things he's done in that game apart from shush the Valencia crowd?
I mean, of note, I saw him on the ball for sure. I saw him playing, getting in Kolasinac's way. He wasn't anonymous.
I don't think he'd done anything. I genuinely would have taken him off at half time. I said this in our group. Like, I would have taken him off at half time and put on another centre mid and gone straight three in the middle. I just don't think he'd done anything. I think he hid in the game. I genuinely do, because so many times, as a footballer, and I know we can sit here and we can critique, and that's what we do. That's our, you know, that's what we do. We give up our time to critique the game. But as a professional footballer, you see that Valencia are attacking down the right-hand side time after time after time after time. Now, you get told to play, I'm assuming, in your favourite number 10 role. But for 5 or 10 minutes, why not drift out to the right-hand side and try and protect Ainsley Maitland-Niles? And he doesn't do that. He stays in the middle. I mean, whether Emre told him, could have directed him to say, go and play on the right-hand side, I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But surely you think, okay, you know what, they're looking dangerous on that side, I'm going to go drift out. But he doesn't. He literally sticks in the middle and plays on the left as well. He comes left. So for me, he's anonymous. And I can understand why we started him. And if he didn't start, I would be angry that he didn't start. If I'm really honest, I'm not going to sit here and lie. But for me, he just didn't have a good game. Like, he didn't do anything in the game. And he was angry when he came off. But why are you angry? Like, what was he angry because the crowd were giving him drip? He didn't do shit. So him being subbed off, I think, was absolutely the correct decision, because he was a passenger out there. He was just making up the numbers. He wasn't doing anything defensively. He wasn't winning any headers like Laka. I mean, okay, I know what someone's going to say to me, that's not his game. Then what the fuck is his game? Because if his game is trying, he's got two of the best strikers in European football, and they are at the moment, and he didn't get an assist today, I want to say. No, he didn't, did he?
No.
No. So there you go. What did he do today? Nothing. So him getting angry, getting subbed off, and him getting booked, I'm sorry, that flipping pissed me off. Every single player does what he does. Every single one. And none of them get booked. Not one of them. But why does Ozil get booked? It just annoys me. Like, it really, really does. No one else in... I've seen people walk off. I've seen, who was it the other day who was walking off, stopped, took off their shin pads, and they carried on walking and didn't get booked. It was someone yesterday. I can't remember. But nothing happened to them. But Ozil carries on walking and gets booked. It's just nonsense. It really is.
So even when he wasn't anonymous, he was annoying you.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? It is bullshit, though. Like, that shouldn't happen. Like, yeah, give him a warning and say, hurry up. Or add the time on. Like, if that's what you want to do, but just booking him just was, for me, pointless as well. Absolutely pointless. He's walking off the pitch. What's he going to do? Booking him for what? Nah, nonsense.
Yeah. Ellis, Mkhitaryan came on for him. What did you reckon to Mickey's performance when he came on?
It's hard because I've got like a proper bugbear with Mkhitaryan. To be fair, I've now got a bugbear of like Ozil. Again, I can disagree with what Kyle said. The only time of note I can think of Mesut Ozil doing anything was shushing the crowd when he came off. And I thought it was a good sub. I think it's better to bring Mkhitaryan because, like Kyle's mentioned, Ozil's been invisible. He didn't really do anything. I never really see him on the ball. And he has far too many of these sort of types of performances. At least when Mkhitaryan does come on the pitch, and we did see it when he came on the pitch, he picked up the ball and he ran at players and he tried to create stuff. My bugbear of him is that he doesn't create enough. And his passing, for me, isn't quite good. He had a couple of opportunities where if his passing was a bit sharper, would have been in on goal. And he's had previous opportunities in other games when his passing has not been sharp. And it's led to the other team scoring a goal. And he does frustrate the hell out of me. But I thought, personally, that substitution was the correct one to make. Because like we've highlighted, Ozil wasn't really doing anything. And I think, actually, Mkhitaryan was involved in the third goal for Aubameyang. So there he's shown that he's had more involvement than Mesut Ozil has for his time on the pitch. So for me, it was the correct substitution to make and was pretty much a no-brainer, really. Other than Iwobi, I probably thought Mesut Ozil would either be Iwobi or Mkhitaryan for me, and I thought Mkhitaryan was the correct choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think kind of his performance when he came on was really great to see, just bustling around the field. A few minutes later, Aubameyang scores. Maitland-Niles kind of makes up from his earlier errors, put my teeth back in, with kind of a great cross into him. Carl, what did you reckon to that with Uber's second?
Brilliant. It was kind of old school Arsenal, wasn't it? Like a low cross into the box and tucked it in. I think those are the sort of things that we miss Bellerin doing. I don't think Ainsley Maitland-Niles had a brilliant game, especially in the first half, but that's because I don't think he's getting the protection. I just think that they targeted that side because they probably knew that you're playing a centre mid at right back. Except Barca tried to do that and they lost. But he's gone out wide, he's put the ball in, and great footwork, because I think Uber had someone on him as well. He had a defender on him. So him to, you know, keep it low as well, because those are the sort of balls that can go sky high, can go wide, can go into the keeper. And for him to do what he done, just literally open up his foot, tucked it into the bottom corner, keeper had no chance. Lovely, lovely, lovely goal. For me, that's a typical Arsenal goal. I know, like, we talk about the tiki-taka or tippy-tappy, whatever you want to call it. But for me, that's a brilliant Arsenal goal. Absolutely lovely.
Excellent. Let's quickly, before we go and wrap up the game, just jump into the chat box, see who's in there, because they are firing away on all cylinders. Who have we got? Grant Wilborn in there. I can still see Lossless. Danny GFP still in there. Tyrone, Daryl Kane. I saw Haz in there as well, was asking if we're going to talk about the penalty shootout or potential penalty shootout of Chelsea. I'm going to wait to see what the result is on that one before we mention that game. Just for the case of anyone that isn't listening live as well, doesn't want to hear about a penalty shootout that has already happened. But if you are watching the Chelsea game, give us a thumbs up. If you're not watching the Chelsea game, give us a thumbs up. See what I did there. But quickly back into the game. Oh, of course, as well, chat box. If you've got any questions, throw them in here. And I believe Carl is doing the questions this evening that we've got. I presume one of the big ones will be, how do you think we'll do in the final against X or Y team? And currently, it's just gone to a penalty shootout, so I can't say right now. But we saw Kolasinac come off on the 70th minute. And Carl, we were at the time, what, 4 goals up? So we did a bit of showboating and brought Mustafi on.
Yeah, I said in the group, I said, oh, fuck, Mustafi's on. You just had this pending doom, don't you? Like, when Mustafi comes on. Do you know what? Kolasinac was injured, so you bring in the defender. Yeah, it was what we do. We have to. Obviously, Emery hasn't got the faith in Mustafi to start. You know, at the moment, I don't blame him because he's not playing his best at the moment. But he came on. I think he had a tidy game. I can't remember. The fact that I can't remember anything that he did is good. So, yeah, came on, tidy game. Lovely, lovely. He does what he does. I don't have much to say about him. He did good job.
I think he's been tidy for a couple of games now. Or at least he hasn't been at fault, should we say, when we have conceded. So whether or not that's a good thing for Mustafi, or just in general, that he's kind of out of it. Ellis, you hinted at it before, that Kolasinac had a good game. Do you want to talk us through his performance?
Did I hint at that?
Yeah, we're talking about Maitland-Niles as well.
I was talking about how they're probably better going forward than they were defensively. I don't remember I hinted at him being that. Well, I thought he played all right going forward again. Defensively, not so much. But I don't think I hinted that he played that well.
Okay. Well, what did you think of his performance then?
I thought it was average to fair. If I'm going to be really hypocritical. Again, it was good going forward. He didn't really get any assists. He got into some spaces there, and he does this a lot. He gets on the ball a lot, and he gets down into those attacking spaces, but sometimes he just can't really get the ball into a player to get the assist. But defensively, he still, for me, frustrates me. I know he's a wing-back, and wing-backs have to have a bit more to the game than just being good defensively, but it does frustrate me. Sometimes there's been flashes of it this season when I thought he was defending really well. I think the Manchester United game, the Tottenham games this year have been examples of that. But today I thought, especially with the goal that come down his side, he was a bit suspect. But you can't fault him going forward. I think sometimes he has this ball in his head where if he thinks I just hit it hard enough, eventually it'll go through to a red shirt or an Arsenal shirt. It doesn't quite happen, but usually I can't really fault him for his attack and play.
Yeah, fair enough. We then saw Guendouzi come on for Torreira. Torreira's pretty busy in that kind of game, Carl. I think maybe at fault for the first goal by not coming over to cover for Maitland-Niles. What did you kind of reckon to his performance today?
I saw him tracking back, which for me, I was like, what the fuck was going on? So from when the fuck he was tracking back, I'm happy. Like, I think that's my pet peeve. We was talking about it today in the chat. Like, what does he add to the Arsenal squad? You know, no assists in the league, no goals in the league. What's he on the pitch for? So for me, I know people say he's only 19 and he's got time ahead of him. He has. So I'm happy that he's got time ahead of him, but he needs to improve, definitely. And I'm not going to say alone. I want him to stay at Arsenal. I want him to actually be at Arsenal. I don't want him to go out on loan. But I don't want him starting game after game after game. I want him to, first of all, decide what you are. Are you a box-to-box? Are you a defensive? Are you a deep-line playmaker? Are you an attacking playmaker? I don't know. Decide what you are and work on that game and focus on it. So he came on, and the fact that I've got nothing bad to say about him or nothing good, you know, it's kind of a 6 out of 10 performance.
Yeah, I mean, he had, what, 12 minutes to do anything and nothing really came of his performance. Kind of the game slowly kind of petered out. We're trying to, you know, just trying to see the game out, really, just while, you know, Valencia, you know, they're kind of out of it now. And it's just a case of, we see Aubameyang get his hat-trick. Ellis, talk us through it.
Yeah, it was sort of a bit showboaty. It was at that point in the game where the Arsenal away fans were olleying every ball, and it just sort of came down the sort of right-hand side. Guendouzi and Aubameyang just kept passing it to each other. And then Guendouzi passed it to Aubameyang, who played a nice sort of like, not quite a 1-2, but it lets it go for his legs to Mkhitaryan, who then plays him in. You can see he glances to see if anyone, probably Lacazette, because he loves him if he's in the box, to lay it off, and there's no one there. So he just thinks, fuck it, I'll blast it. And he hits it so hard that this keeper doesn't stand a chance. And he's got his hat trick, and that's, what, 29 goals for the season? Correct me if I'm wrong, some in the chat box probably will, but that's a hell of a haul, really, for a first full season of Arsenal. And it just shows how deadly he can be. I think at times in the season I've questioned his finishing. Sometimes he'll finish chances I think he should bury, and he doesn't. But today you couldn't really question his finishing. He had, I don't know how many shots now, he's only missed a couple, but he was definitely very clinical with his shots today, and that rounded off with a nice hat-trick for him, his first hat-trick for Arsenal.
Sam Ruth has confirmed in the chat box, 29 bucks. I'm sorry, Sam, I totally missed that you gave us a donation as well. I wrote it down. I just forgot to say it.
Thanks, Sam.
You're the best.
Man, Sam.
We love you.
Carl, what did you reckon to Aubameyang's performance? Was it arguably his best performance in a Arsenal shirt?
sorry.
For everyone that isn't watching the penalty shootout, Chelsea have missed a penalty, as you can probably guess.
I thought his performance was absolutely brilliant. I do. Like, there's not many times where you can say, I'm not going to say 10 out of 10. I mean, anyone who doesn't get a hat-trick, you would say, oh, actually, fuck it. 10 out of 10 performance. He's done everything. Even he was tracking back. He was in midfield. He was on the right, on the left. For me, if you want a perfect performance, you get a hat-trick if you're a striker. That's what you do. He was helping out defensively. He's helping out in midfield. Aubameyang has these games when sometimes he, you know, let's be honest, he doesn't play as well as he could. And in some days he plays like he does, like today. Brilliant. So for me, give him credit where credit is due. He should get a 10 out of 10 today on who scored on or whatever match ratings.
Does that mean he's made up for bottling that penalty against Spurs?
Never. Sorry, I can't forgive him for that. I can't. That still hurts.
What about if he scores the winning penalty in the final of the Europa League?
Obviously, that doesn't. If he wins this winning penalty in the Europa Cup final, he has more than made up for that penalty miss at at that lot.
Nice little Panenka. Yeah,
right in the corner. Like, definitely. But cool. Yeah, I just think today he was very good. I think I can't think of a player that, apart from Ozil, I can't think of a player that was bad. And even you could say Monreal wasn't on top of his game, but you know, Monreal did a few good things as well. So no player was, I wouldn't even say Ozil was bad. He just wasn't as good as he can be.
Yeah, I think that's a problem for Ozil generally, and maybe something to go into for the kind of podcast kind of thing. Ellis, do you want to talk us through Aubameyang's performance as well?
Yeah, again, like Carl, I'll be generous, a 10 out of 10 performance. He's another save there from Chelsea. Frankfurt's 3-2 to Frankfurt, Chelsea take one. Same with Carl. 10 out of 10 performance. He added a bit to his game for me today. It's not something I've seen of him as much as you sometimes see from Lacazette. He's tracking back, he's winning balls. He, like Carl rightly said, he was everywhere, his left on the right, linking up well with everyone. And I don't think you can really scoff at someone getting a hat-trick in the semi-final to take you through on aggregate 7-3 or whatever it was. So yeah, for me, 10 out of 10 performance, and I just hope he can keep it up for the final. If he can perform like that, then I've got no doubt that whoever goes through after these penalty shootouts that will win the Europa League.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps up the game. Chatbox, I know you're all watching the Chelsea penalty shootout right now, but thank you as always for your support in there. You see, we've got Colo's used cars. Presumably that's our invincible Colo, double invincible. Chris Baird is also in there. Simple Munch, Ant-365. Arsenio Wonga is also in there. And guys, which one of you two are doing the questions? Or are we just find it out in the car park? Because it's quite
Alice has to use the scalpel, so I don't want to fight about this.
Okay.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Sorry.
And on that note, I shall kick off the questions.
On mute.
So the first one that I have in our little chat box here is from Peter Coulson, a regular in the chat box. And his question is, we play the Chavs in the Europa League final, .. Have we ever beaten English opposition in a European contest? Google, you adorable monkeys. So I sprung that on you two. I don't know if you have Googled that. I'm going to go to you, Carl.
We lost to Man United in the quarterfinals, didn't we? We lost to Liverpool one season. I don't think we've ever played Chelsea.
I mean, Chelsea weren't relevant before 2006.
And we are playing, just to let you know, we're playing Chelsea in the final. They've won the penalty shootout.
There we go. Buzzing. Okay.
Yeah, but no, I don't think we have, because I know, remember we lost to Man United when we had Almunia in goal and Ronaldo scored that ridiculous free kick from I don't know how far out he was. And we lost to Liverpool, didn't we, when we should have gone through. I just remember Walcott to Adebayor, and then somehow we conceded again, didn't we? We conceded two goals because we got the away goal for some unknown stupid reason, yeah. But no, I don't think we ever have, to the best of my knowledge.
No, agreed, Ellis. I can't think of anybody.
Cool. Well, if you're wrong, then I'm sure someone in the chat box will correct us. One, we'll go to you, Josh, from Junior Gunner, another regular. Did today's performance again suggest Ozil doesn't have a spot in this team? Should we look to move him on? He didn't affect the game. He slowed the game down, and he doesn't contribute enough for any goals or assists anymore. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah. I would agree to that kind of point. I thought he was poor in this game. His passing wasn't necessarily as accurate as it could be. It was almost sloppy in a kind of the standard you expect from Mesut Ozil. Yeah, he's completing passes, but they're going to players' wrong feet, or they're behind a man. They're stopping, you know, Maitland. There was a couple of times Maitland-Niles making a lung bursting run down the wing, and Ozil plays the ball slightly behind him, and you're like, oh, it's not a good pass. That's kind of taken a lot of momentum out of us. And I think when we saw Mkhitaryan come on, that kind of changed a bit, and we saw a bit more dynamism in that position. And I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe we should just keep Mkhitaryan back to be a sub for us, because he looks really good when he comes off a bench, but when he starts for us is really difficult to kind of he's not great for us recently, but it'll be interesting to kind of see what we do in the final. But looking beyond our next two games, I can't think of much reason why we should be keeping him around.
Yeah, I think it's hard to disagree with you there. I think it's got to a point where, for me personally, it used to be Ozil and Alexis. They were the two stars of our team. And before Alexis, it was Ozil. But now it's definitely Aubameyang and Lacazette. And I used to not be able to envision a team without Ozil, or a good team without Ozil, or Arsenal team without Ozil. But now I think if you take him out of the team, we wouldn't really miss him. So yeah, it's just strange how it's gone that way. But Carl, we'll come to you with the next question from Colo's Used Cars. He said, could our midfield benefit if our defenders weren't so bad? Which
I think it's the other way around, I would say. Personally, if our midfield wasn't so bad and they gave our defenders protection, then we wouldn't be put under so much pressure. So I think we need to improve our midfield this season, definitely. We need to replace Aaron Ramsey, God rest his soul. We need an upgrade. I would honestly sell Xhaka. I honestly would get rid of Xhaka and get an upgrade on him. And also I would bring in another player, because I still think we're missing that somebody. So yeah, I think if we can get someone to protect our centre-backs, protect our defence, then we wouldn't be so bad.
What you have to look at, expanding on that point, where you say, I probably agree with you, Carl, that the midfield is probably the other way around. And I think the midfield need to realise that defence isn't just down to the defenders. It's a team job. You defend from the front back. But Josh, we've got another question for you here from Mika for Life. It's a bit pointless now, but who would you prefer in the final, Josh?
Frank Burt.
Well, you're not going to get him.
Yeah, no. I think, to be honest, let's put it this way. With Chelsea, we know that we've got a couple of weeks before the final. It's 2 weeks from more or less now, I think. Might even be 3 weeks. There's a big old break until that final comes round. And at least we know that Chelsea have the same preparation as us. To be fair, we have already got, well, they've got Champions League. We don't. There's no chance of us really getting Champions League on the last day unless there's some crazy turn of events with goal difference and Spurs.
Eight-point goal swing, isn't it?
No,
Something like that.
Yeah. It's not going to happen, is it?
So it's not going to happen. So we've kind of got that carrot that this is going to get us, Champions League as well. And the case of, we've got that 2 weeks kind of break before we can prepare for it. I almost maybe expect us to see us maybe have a postseason friendly in between, just because there is that huge gap from the end of the season.
Probably behind closed doors, won't it?
Maybe. I couldn't see why we didn't ever spin out to go to, Abu Dhabi or something like that for a quick check.
Well, if we're going to be in Baku, you'd think that we'd play some team from that part of the world, won't we? Like, you'd think we'd go there like for a week or something like that and play someone down there, but we'll see.
Yeah. I don't even know where Baku is. It sounds like a carton of juice. No, that's Mbongo, not Baku. Anyway, Nick, question for you. Josh has answered the last one, Carl. It's from No Nickname Required. He says, where do you think Maitland-Niles is going to end up in the future? In the centre midfield or on the wing?
I don't know. I think the thing is, even when we had Lichtsteiner and Bellerin both fit, Maitland-Niles didn't really get into the midfield, did he? So you have to think to yourself, does Emre see him as a centre mid? Because I can't think of too many times when, before Bellerin got injured, they actually played in midfield. if any. So I'd like to think, I mean, people keep saying his natural position is centre mid. People keep saying that. But how many times has he played in centre mid? He's played at right back or right wing back more times than he's played in centre mid for Arsenal. So at what point do you then stop saying he's a centre mid playing at right back? At what point do we then say, no, he's actually a right back or right wing back? Because it does seem that he's not going to get into our midfield at the moment. So I think it's depending on what we do with the right back situation, because with Lichtsteiner going, we have to get another right back. We have to get a replacement right back. Or do we? Does Emre then say, I don't need a replacement right back because I've got Ainsley Maitland-Niles? So it all depends what we do in the summer.
Yeah, I agree. So we've got three more questions left. So I'll go to Josh, then Carl, then I'll both give you the last one. So this one, Josh, is from Dro the Gooner. He says, let's say we're able to sell Ozil. Would you play Lacazette in the quotation marks 10 and bring in another striker?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think the number 10 position really exists anymore. Not traditionally like we see Mesut Ozil. He's kind of like a unique player now. And the thing with having unique players, they've got to be performing pretty consistently for there to be a reason why you've got them in your side. Similar to kind of Aaron Ramsey. You know, when he comes in, he's kind of that unique player for us. But he's only really ever around 65% of the time due to his injury record, which I think you can't build a team around him. Ozil's around most of the time, and we have tried to build teams around him. But looking at it now, when we haven't built a team around him, he hasn't really been able to kind of stamp his authority on the team at all, really. So I think it's just one of those that it's just you don't need a number 10 really anymore. We can just stick another midfield, you know, stick a better central midfielder in there, because I think that's where we need kind of more solidity there and get some better wingers.
Carl, back to you. It's from Neil Vagheller. I don't know if I said that wrong. That's probably a Danny pronunciation. He puts, or she, he's Neil. If the unthinkable happens in Madrid during the Champions League final, do you want World War III to start? He's on mute again. Come on, Carl, sort it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to have it as a joke. But do you know what? I'm not going to lie. I hate it and I love it. How many countries can say that all teams from their league are in European finals? You know, people keep saying, oh, no, the Spanish league is the best league in the world and this league is the best league in the world. I mean, you hate to see it, that the fact that lot are in the European final, the Champions League final. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But the fact that four teams from England are in the European finals, like, of the... I love it. I do. I do. I don't want that lot to win. I really don't. For the love of God, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I want Liverpool to win. I never thought I'd ever say that in my whole entire life. But it's a good thing for the Premier League. I really do. And hopefully it'll just attract the best talent, whether they come to Arsenal or not, we don't know. But no, I love it. I love it. But we can't have Tottenham winning. We cannot. Literally insufferable if they win it. Could you imagine? Jesus, like Liverpool. For that day, I will have a Liverpool shirt on. I will talk Scouse. I will do everything. But Tottenham cannot win it. And we have to beat Chelsea. We have to. You know, it's not going to be an easy game. Of course it's not. Chelsea, you know, for some unknown reason, I've had a resurgence lately. And they've won a few games. But, you know, I think we play on our best game. And we have everyone clicking and we play like we did today. I think we can beat them. I genuinely do, because if Hazard's not clicking, then that team doesn't really play well. But you can just see it now. Me and Josh were talking about it earlier. You can just see it now. 89th minute, bullet header from Olivier Giroud, can't you? Oh,
God.
Murder me. No, but yeah. In all honesty, I love it. And we got to beat Chelsea in the final.
Lovely. Josh, before I go to you with the final question, We had a little donation pop in there that I've missed, but Danny's brought it to my attention. Thank you, Danny. It says that Jamie Fitzgrade has donated €5 and he's put, "We will beat Chelsea in the final. We have more to play for and two of the best strikers in the world. Nothing left to play for. It has to be us. Come on, you Gunners, I can't talk. Blah." Right, before I lose the ability to actually form sentences, here you go, Josh. Carl, you can probably answer it as well if you want. Richard Garrett has asked, "Do you think the Europa is a good competition to be in? It's a Europe or Euro Cup, and we can actually win it."
Yeah, I'll get to that. Oh, Dom has just come in as well. Dom Lloyd coming with a donation. Get in, bring on the final. Absolutely. Do you think Europa is good enough to be in? For where we are at the moment, I think we are, to be honest. It's where we are. It's a good competition for us. It's kind of interesting because, to be honest, it'll be, you know, the same kind of thing we've seen for, 19 seasons under Wenger. With we get to, probably the last 10 seasons anyway, you get to a certain point in the round and then we just get battered by Bayern or Barca. And at least, you know, the two seasons we've had in the Europa League, you know, we've got to the semi-finals or better. I know the group stage is mundane as hell, but personally, for the moment, I kind of like if we qualified for the Champions League, we just finished third in the group and then drop into the Europa, where it's then kind of fun and we can go to the final and just play those kind of middling teams. Because to be honest, it's the level we're at. You know, if we come up against, we've seen it in the league. We come up against Liverpool, we get absolutely smashed. Come up against Man City, we get absolutely smashed. We're not at the elite level. And the way the Champions League draw kind of works now is we'll end up with one of those massive sides in our group. And we'll probably end up in pot three, I reckon, if we win. So again, there's going to be another better side in pot two than us that kind of got there legitimately. So I've kind of, I think Europa League's where we're at, maybe for another season or two. I don't think our squad is good enough at all for Champions League, at least to compete. And whilst we're not able to compete, you know, get to the quarters, get to the semis every so often, then yeah, it's just stick with Europa.
Carl, do you want to add anything to that?
Or? No, I agree with him. I don't think we are good enough to be in the Champions League, not by a country mile. We will, like Josh said, we're going to get smacked up if we come against some of the elite teams and even some of the not so elite teams. I just think we'll be in it to maybe a China trap players and be in it for the money. And I think that's the only reason why we really want to be in it. But no, I don't think we are good enough, especially with our squad at the moment. Depending on how we improve our squad, then, you know, we can talk about that later. But with this squad right now, we are not good enough for the Champions League. It'd be all nice to be in it and be in and amongst the conversation. But if we was to be in the Europa League again next season, which we are already, aren't we? Even if we lose the final, our league position puts us in the Europa League. I wouldn't be too unhappy, because we'll get to, like Josh said, we'll be in the Champions League and we'll just get beaten by when we come up against someone really, really good.
Lovely. That is the end of the listeners' questions. So I'll hand it back to you, Josh, and you can wrap this shit up.
Thank you. I'm going to ask one other question as well to you two. Before that, Mika for Life has been in again with another donation. And it goes into my next kind of question. He has donated $2 and a single cent, because the
legend.
the score will be 2-1. Sorry. Of course, it wouldn't be 1-0, because that's what's going to Arsenal.
200-1.
Yeah. 2-1 to Arsenal. And that's going to be my question, because we now know that Chelsea will be our opponents in the final. Ellis, I'll come to you first, and then Carl, how do you feel about drawing Chelsea, and what do you reckon to our chances?
We'll beat them. We will beat Chelsea. Like, I am Chris Carpenter confident that we'll beat Chelsea. Do you remember we played them in the FA Cup a few seasons ago, and everyone was like, oh no, we're going to get smacked up? We beat them. Like, Hazard for me is the only good player. Higuain he's that Danny fat, isn't he? But his movement's very, very good. But no, I'm kind of confident that we will beat them. Just give Sarri a pack of cigarettes and let him just smoke his way on the touchline. But nah, I'm not gonna say I'm not worried. I'm not gonna say like they don't scare me, because they do a little bit, but I do think we'll beat them. I really do.
Yeah, and Ellis, do you agree with, you know, we should caveat that Chris Carpenter levels of confidence are like Barca and Ajax aren't going to lose this. They've got
See, that's where I refuse to go to that sort of level, because if this comes back to bite Carl on the ass, I'm not going to be in that area. I'm not going to say anything. I will say that we've definitely got enough to beat Chelsea. If you stop Hazard, you stop Chelsea. Like you alluded to earlier when you were talking about Chelsea and them having the same time to prepare, they've not got an advantage. We both finished the season the same time, we both have the same amount of gap, so there's no sort of unfair advantage. And also, it's bigger for us, isn't it? At the end of the day, this final is bigger for us. Chelsea have already secured a Champions League place, no matter what. We haven't. This is our only route into it. It's the way to get the cash cow. It's the way to attract the big players, to have more money to spend on the big players. So I'd like to feel that we are going to be more up for it than them. And also, we haven't really mentioned it, but Unai Emery's got a great record on this competition. May well have been one of the reasons why the board decided to bring him in, to try and potentially get into Champions League that way. And I think what you can say about him, and what I will say about Emery and this Arsenal team that he's inherited and what he's done this season, is yes, we've been poor against sort of teams like Wolves and Leicester in the league, but when it's come to sort of the bigger games, I think our top six performance has improved under Emery, and I think he's good at sort of getting Arsenal up for sort of the bigger occasions. And I think Chelsea and a Euro final is a big occasion. And also in terms of sort of squad-wise and their quality, I don't think at the moment they're that far ahead of us. They're a bit better. You can see they're more consistent with their position in the league. But I think on our day, we can definitely beat them. We've got two very clinical strikers. And if we get our gameplay right and Emery gets gameplay right, or maybe changes it enough to take it on the head and get the points, I think we can definitely do it. But I'm not going to sit here and say we're definitely going to do it, because I'm not Chris Carpenter and I'm not going to jinx us.
Thanks, Ellis. You've taken one for the team and not jinxed us. Yeah, I think I kind of agree with, well, I suppose both of you in that way. I think we're going to do well in it. Danny has said that we will win it. Chat box, what are your kind of thoughts on it as well? Do you think we're kind of going to win it? I've just seen some from Norway's comment, and I see that for Carl spotted as well.
That made me chuckle.
We're going to lose. I've
has just said Ellis plays Fortnite all day in his mum's basement.
That's just rude. Fuck you. Never played Fortnite. I tried to play that other one with Travis. What's it called?
Apex Legends.
That's it. Can't do that either. I can barely play FIFA.
It's true. It's true, guys. He can barely even hold a controller. It's the extra digits he's got from being from...
I've got koala thumbs, two extra thumbs.
Oh, God,
thumbs.
They're in the Premier League next season, aren't they? Oh.
Yes, they are. Come on.
Oh, dear. Well, on that note, I'm going to say thank you to my two guests this evening, Ellis and Carl. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Josh, for hosting. I'm glad that we have won the game, because it was going to be a tale of either pending doom or joyous occasion. And I'm glad to say it's a joyous occasion. You know, we didn't do too well in the league, but we're in the Europa League final with a chance to win a trophy. That's more than any Man United fan can say.
Ellis, you going to say anything, or are you just going to...
I'm just sat there reading this horrible comment, and I'm giving it a shout out, even though he's a horrible, horrible person. Mr. Bobble X has put, does Ellis look like Mustafi? So thank you for having me on, Josh, and a big fuck you to Mr. Bobble X.
Thank you very much as well. I was going to say, shout out to the chat box. You've been absolutely great, especially at trolling Ellis as well. Nothing about Carl though, and his inability to get tube trains up on time. Word still has it out there that Fife is still not home from Monday. a big shout out to everybody that donated. I'm going to rifle through these lists now. So that's Sam, Jamie, Dom, Micah for Life twice, Yvonne, J-Rob, Tiero, Stefan and Gabrielle. Thank you all. It's been absolutely incredible. This is, we're back into our, what, first European final since 2000. And fingers crossed, it's better than the last one.